How you guys doing tonight?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing really good after finding out we're everyone's favorite podcast that's not in the Epstein files. Welcome to the Vox Cascadia podcast. I searched up all of our names, by the way. None of us are in it. And I have a super common name. So, like, if any of us were going to come up in the Epstein files, it'd be me, right?
Oh, but I thought you meant, like, specifically our full names. I was like,
I did. Absolutely. So I searched all of our full names in there. We're not in it. I'm not saying any of the other podcasts are in it. I'm just saying we're your favorite that's not in it.
So. that's why you pay the good money to get redacted. So
absolutely.
Came out in a timely manner. So welcome back, Tyler. Tyler, you can see Tyler's in his new digs, as empty as last time we saw him. We missed him last week, and
it's quite barren still. I have a lot to do and unpack and to decorate and purchase still. Like, I have to buy so much for this new place, actually.
Yeah. So anytime you move, you just realize the amount of shit that you need. So, and then back joining us again, we got the little baby Connor over there.
Hello. I don't know why.
That's all you got.
Yeah, I thought you were going to, like, introduce our special guest, so I was going to keep it quick for once.
Oh, I'll let you introduce the guest.
Ah, okay, fair enough. Well, joining us today is the wonderful Matthew. He just played over at the Palm Springs, almost at Tacoma Open, Games Workshop Open at Palm Springs. I suck and didn't read any notes if we had them. Matt, what team are you playing?
I played the Wrecker Crew.
Nice. No wonder Chuck brought you on. As we all know, Chuck is the orcus guy around.
Yeah, formerly orcus guy. So, yeah, I mean, I gave up. I was a 2025 Mr. USA orcus guy, you know. So, but Matt, Simone, Matt on the Discords.
Absolutely.
Won best painted at Palm Springs, right?
I did. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
And you placed really well, too. What was your overall?
Oh, no. I did not place well.
I thought you placed pretty decently.
26th or something like that. Okay. I was towards the top of the
out of 143. That's really good.
Yeah, that's solid. Yeah.
143. That's why it was 11 rounds.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they needed it for.
Yeah, well, that's something we're going to get into is what you thought of the event, since none of us made the journey down to Palm Springs. And I'm curious if we're even going to have one at Tacoma. They have not announced it yet, and by this time every year they've announced it. So
yeah, I realize that.
Yeah, Matt. So Matt, let's get to know you a little bit. We like to first time on the pod. We'd like to get to know you. Talk to us about your journey into the hobby and what got you into nerdy stuff and then miniatures and then into Kill Team.
Oh, keep it real brief. Getting into nerdy stuff, that was since I was a child. Loved all fantasy stuff. I've loved orcs since Warcraft 2. The hobby in particular. My mom's ex-husband, I'm not going to call him stepdad. My mom's ex-husband took me to a game store. I had no idea. I've always liked tiny things, you know, action figures, always small things. So when I went to the store, I was like kind of blown away. It was like maybe like 99. So I started spending money on Warhammer Fantasy. A lot of money on Warhammer Fantasy. Never ever played. Never played. When I finally watched it being played, I realized that the what is it called? The flank.
Rank and flank.
Rank and flank. Thank you. Rank and flank was not for me. I saw some people playing 40K at the next table, and I was like, that looks way cooler. But I stopped, came back around during COVID, like most people.
Yeah. I do. That's like, story. Yeah, you did the most Warhammer thing ever of I bought a lot of models. Build them up. Never played the game, but I had a great time just building them.
Especially at that time, too. Like, the game was so intense at that time. It was like, you know, if you were a kid trying to get into the hobby at that time, no one was helpful at all. They were like, what are you doing, you fucking twerp? You know?
And it's funny because the store I went to wasn't even a Games Workshop store. Mm-hmm. So it was like just a regular game store called Last Grenadier. And walking in, the guy who ran it, the guy kind of looked like a dwarf. His name was Owen. and he would just talk smack about all the GW stuff. Like, so that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
You know what
some
I mean?
Some things, like, never change. People still like to bitch and moan about it.
Yeah.
We bitch and moan about it, and we give them our money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. I mean, that boat. Yeah.
Matt, what's your poison tonight? I see you've got a frosty cold beverage there. Like,
all right.
Like,
I am drinking a beer I've been holding on to for a while. This seems like a good occasion. It was an anniversary beer from a brewery called Celador. Used to be out here in the San Fernando Valley. I'm from LA. Didn't make that clear. But they do like a lot of like sours.
Okay.
So they're in the South Bay now. New ownership, I believe. But they're in the South Bay. I was part of their members when they were out here. When they moved, I'm like, it's not worth the money.
Yeah. It's a little ways away from you? Or
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
There's been a lot of shakeup in the beer industry lately.
There has been.
It's been pretty tragic. A lot of the smaller breweries are closing, even some of the big ones. You know, like we just had Rogue close up here in Oregon, which is like one of the biggest. That. Yeah, no, Rogue is like gone. Yeah, you know, crazy. There's going to be some like contingency for Dead Guy. I think there's a couple other places brewing it currently, but like I think Rogue is like gone, like hella gone, like which is crazy because they were like. They were like the Oregon brewery for so long, like when you thought of like Oregon beer, you know?
I'm a LA Galaxy fan.
I'm sorry. I'm Timbers fan here. So
listen, you know, I got six stars on my chest. I can't complain.
Yeah, well, you know, you can buy anything you want these days, right?
not this last season. We couldn't buy anything.
Oh, yeah.
But
you guys couldn't buy a win for the first 15 games.
Ooh, it was I know soccer. We have the Sounders, right, Chuck?
Fuck the Sounders too.
Okay, Timbers. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sounders.
Do you guys know what sounding is?
I do.
Yes.
Yeah, we go over this every time.
Okay.
That has been the joke ever since they came in. But when Portland came to the league, the first 4 years I did away trips to Portland.
Nice.
Love Portland.
Yeah. Yeah. Providence Park is a great place to see a game. So
yeah. You remember Matador across the street?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, when I heard that close, it broke my heart.
Yeah.
$5 pitchers.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I may have mentioned before, if you ever get back up to Portland, though, so my favorite spot now is actually, it's called Mox Boarding House. And they've got one in Seattle. They got one, in Phoenix now. But it's a game store, and it's all like kind of like Art Deco, like super nice game stores right across the street from Providence Park. I think we're gonna try and talk to them about doing a tournament there too. So
yeah,
got Warhammer, they got Magic, they got all the stuff, and it's like great menu. So if you get back up here for another Timbers game, one, let me know too. We'll hook up and then
definitely
and two, we'll go to Mox.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I checked out that Mox in Seattle. It was a cool spot.
Yeah, same company. Yeah.
There's one in Bellevue, and then now Chandler, Arizona, apparently.
Chandler, that's where it is.
The guy on Friends?
Yes. Yeah. So well, Matt, what got you in? Did you get into Kill Team in like this last edition then, right? Or
I bought into the
2021, right?
The 21. Yeah. No, I bought into the one before that, where you could build your own teams.
Kill Team 2018 prototype.
Yeah, 18. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Didn't play. Didn't learn to play. Then in 21, probably like 2022. I was online. I'm like, I gotta find somewhere to learn this game because I'm not good at rules, which is why fantasy didn't work for me. and found Gameology. Did you guys ever come to the All Valley Team Tournament?
I haven't had a chance to make it down there yet.
Okay, so when you first held it, it was a place called Gameology in Pasadena, and it was the best store. Two stories, nothing but space. It was an awesome store. Learned the game there. Planned on taking it back to. Just teach my brother and my friend and not do anything. You know what I mean? Just play it at home. And I found the competitive scene in Southern California, and it kind of changed my life.
Nice.
So, man, it's amazing how many times I hear Kill Team has changed my life. Like the game and the community has changed my life from people all over the country. Like the connections that people have made through this game is really crazy. We've known each other for like 5 years at least now, Matt, online, you know, it's just wild. Like, how like these connections grow and like, they're like sustained relationships too, you know?
Yeah, man. Shout out, Ben's Discord.
For real. Yeah, absolutely.
Battle Brothers Ben.
Battle Brothers Ben.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I met Tyler through Command Point everybody knows Command Point. Just they had a Northwest or a West Coast thing actually. And they pointed me towards Kill Team Cascadia. And yeah, that's, and four years later now, doing podcasts with these fools every week and running conventions and tournaments. And
who would have guessed, right?
Next year, you're going to make a profit off it too. That's the main reason you got into this, Chuck, as we all know.
Absolutely. Well, big money.
Big money. You know, Chuck wants to make generational wealth off Warhammer players.
Yeah, I'm actually retiring next year off of this. So,
so
you guys know, it's that kind of big money here.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, you got a new place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, look at this. I have no art on my walls yet. Yeah,
little do we know, Tyler didn't move into an apartment. It's like one of those McMansions in,
It's a complex, compound. I'm not trying to dodge the accusations of the cult. I'm just leaning into it at this point. So,
when we see Tyler building like bunk beds for people to stay in, that's when we know it's gotten
weird. We need to call some people.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Either that or things have gotten really bad out there.
Yeah,
You know, we're almost there. Either way, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Who knows?
Yeah. You ain't lying,
Matt. So Matt, you're in LA, right? Yes. So it's like squad games turf, right?
Yes, sir.
You got a LGS down there, like a local game store? Where do you get your games?
There's a lot of, so it used to be Gameology. I was driving into Pasadena regularly. Met so many of my friends there. They closed. Then a new game store opened up closer to me. Cool. Not a huge kill team scene there. Didn't really breed one. Now I'm playing at a brand new store in Pasadena called Crown City. So if you're in LA, Crown City is an awesome place to play.
Cool.
I'll play other places as well. There's a lot of places in LA to play. But
always Crown a good City's problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Don't lack for options in LA for a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was down there. I actually was down there. I don't know if you remember when Arsenal and Manchester United played in the preseason games a couple years ago. I stayed in Irvine, I think it was. Irvine?
Maybe? Okay.
Yeah.
Irvine, Orange County.
It was right near SoFi Stadium, not too far away from SoFi.
So, Inglewood.
Inglewood. Yeah.
Yeah. Inglewood and Irvine are two very different places.
Yeah.
Irvine's a college town with a lot of tech stuff.
Yes.
Inglewood is, Inglewood's kind of hood.
Inglewood's up to no good, right?
Inglewood's up to no good, but a little less so now. I mean, it's got SoFi, it's got the new, what's the new Clipper Stadium called?
Oh, I saw it. It was, I don't know.
I forget the name of it, but yeah.
No, yeah, they have a lot of great food down there.
Yeah.
We were really impressed with the food offerings. SoFi is crazy. So that stadium is just huge. So,
was it hot when you were there?
It wasn't too bad. It was actually, I think it was mid-70s. So this was late July too. So it was actually pretty good. And SoFi, air just blows through there.
If you got the right seats, the air hits nicely. If you don't, if you're outside of the air, it can get hot because that glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Sun coming straight through.
Yeah, but it was cool. So let's talk about another place in California, Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So you were you went to the Palm Springs Open, the inaugural Palm Springs Open.
I did.
You took your Rekka crew. Talk us a little bit about maybe some highlights of the tournament, some big plays you had. Sure. And then
how you felt about 11 rounds.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, let me shock everyone and say that 11 rounds was not crazy.
I've actually heard that.
I was expecting a lot worse.
Interesting.
I actually went. I drove out there about a 2-hour drive on Friday morning. So my very first game, I played a friend of mine who was playing Raveners, and I hadn't been playing Rekka crew. I had been playing Vespids, so I forgot to take grenades. So that's how my first game went.
Okay.
But after that, I mean, it wasn't crazy. Might have been a little tired at the end of day one, but by the end of the 11 rounds, I was ready to play another game.
I was listening to Chris Bakke over on Squad Games, and he was saying that his whole crew was basically like the 4-4-3. After the last games on Sunday, they were ready to keep playing. And I know they're like crazy people, but
There was something about the third game at the end, right? You're expecting a fourth game, but also there was good breaks in between, 30 minute breaks in between each game. And if you were finishing early, you had long breaks. So it definitely wasn't as draining as I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we when we heard that schedule announced, we were just all like clutching our pearls, because how are we gonna like playing 11 games and 4-4-3, and you know what mm-hmm. how are people gonna do this, and nobody's gonna want to do this, and
yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, I play Wrecking Crew for a reason.
Yeah,
I want the least amount of mental load as possible. I mean, I forgot grenades. Matter of fact, at LVO, I played a ton of Tomb World games, and I kept forgetting that I had Lethal Fives. So,
did you make it to LVO in October?
I did.
Cool, because you and I saw you there. Yeah, and I saw you there in January, and actually uh-huh. you had one of Tyler's Burn One shirts on.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I was wearing that shirt outside, and there was a very famous miniature painter who came up to me and was like, "Hey, you got a lighter?" Because he was trying to smoke, and I did not have a lighter on me. I do not smoke, and I was kind of like a poser rocking that shirt.
Like, sorry, man, this is
I love that. Cool. I love that. That's That makes me feel really good. Like, you know, that means that like the shirt's getting across the message that it's supposed to.
And you know? he recognized the shirt. He might have one, actually.
Damn. Okay.
Do you remember who the painter was?
I do.
Who was it?
It was Sam Lenz.
Okay. Yeah. I know Sam. Yeah. I've definitely sent him a couple shirts of mine. So yeah,
he assumed I was from Portland.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, Sam's a super dope dude. Cool. I met him at LVO, what, a couple of years ago, last time I was there. I was like, I totally fangirled him. I'm like, Sam Lenz, I love you. You know, you're one of my favorite painters, you know, which he is. I think he has a cool style. You know. Too.
Like, I was ready to fangirl over him, but I didn't have a lighter, and I was like, "Well, now,
now I can."
Yeah,
I mean, like, you know, all the cool kids learned a long time ago that you carry a lighter for the girls that smoke, right? Like,
Connor, do you carry
I'm
a lighter?
Married now? You know what I mean? So it's
I do, and I have Tyler's pocket knife on me practically at any given time.
Yeah.
Actually, in fact, Tyler, your pocket knife you got me was so popular, two of my friends have now bought it because they just really like the look of it. So well done.
I mean, the QSP Penguin is a banger of a knife. Like, it is so utilitarian, and like at like $40, there's like few knives that you can get that are a better deal. Like, if you want to spend $50, I can recommend a better knife, slightly. You know, just like a couple nicer touches, but like that knife is like so nice, so fucking nice, and it's also the only knife that's like nearly taken off my finger. You know, like with the factory edge. Like, I just like fucking, I had it open on my couch one time and I forgot to close it. I fucking just brushed my thumb up against it and it split it down to the bone.
Ooh,
like, Jesus. So sharp. You know, so like factory edge on that, crazy sharp. And like, it's D2 steel. So unless you're doing like something like chucking at wood with it, you probably won't need to sharpen that shit forever. You know?
And you gave Connor one of these?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's worked out great. I've opened many a packages with it, and I haven't hurt myself at all. It's a great knife.
Fantastic knife. The action on it's amazing. So, yeah.
So, Matt, give us some of the highlights. So, how much Wrecking Crew had you played before that tournament?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I've been playing Wrecking Crew mostly this edition.
Cool.
I took them to the LVO that I saw you at, the January mm-hmm. one. Okay. And I only had a couple games under my belt, and then I've been playing them since. Not well, but I've been playing them once. So I love Wrecking Crew. I mean, I love Orcs. I am going to try something else. Right before Palm Springs, I was trying Vespids, just because they were on my painting desk. Get them done.
Vespids are popular right now. Yeah. People be painting them and playing them. They won a couple tournaments up here. Yeah. Recently, and they've been pretty popular, you know.
People like flying teams, man.
Yeah,
and they got
Murder Wing. Yeah,
you know, can do a little surprising amount of melee damage.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been with the Wrecking Crew, like I was, kind of from the start when you played with LBO. So what do you think about the new changes to them? How do you have you? So when I played Wrecking Crew all last year, and then I kind of put them down after I was number one in the United States with them. And so I decided to move on. But then I did pick them up. Flex, by the way.
Hey, Humble Flex, I was still apparently number one Hunter Clade player despite playing maybe one tournament with them all last year.
Good job, buddy.
You were the only player.
Yeah. It was like there was no one else. It was like 110 and then 80 and then like 40 was the top three scores.
So what do you, Matt, what do you think about the changes to them? Because when I played them once after they got the APL off the charge, and I couldn't get used to it. I didn't really continue to play them. So how do you feel about the changes they made to them? Because it kind of bumped them up, made them a little more versatile.
Yeah, I loved it. The charge buff was very necessary, at least for the way that I play. Everyone that knew me around here always took stuns into me.
Yep.
So, you know, that charge buff completely changed that. They, you know, they're a rough team. Pretty simple to play.
They're my nightmare. Every time I match into them, them and Commandos, fucking the orc teams, they just like my roadblock. I run into them and like I can't.
I played Commandos all of 21. So, once again, not well, but
those teams are such roadblocks. Like because every time it's like not only do you have a decent model count, but you have a high wound count. For what it is, you know, and like they're going to put the damage into you. If you cannot put them down fast enough, if you're not critting in melee, they will kill you. You know, 100% of the time.
Even when you know Justice Scratch is coming, mm-hmm. It's such a pain in the ass.
It sucks. It's like, what can you do? Like, it's like they're always going to use it at the worst possible time. You know, it's like you think they're going to use it at this moment. You're going to be like, oh, it's going to be this play that they're going to. They're not going to use it when you think they're going to use it. They're going to use it at another time. And it's going to fuck you even harder than you could have imagined.
But that's what the good players do. You know, they bait it out.
Absolutely.
I played Jeshua Kelly quite a few times early on just from being out here. Mm-hmm. And Jeshua was always beating my ass. And I always felt like I used Justice Scratch the wrong time. Yeah. Or didn't even get a chance to use it, you know. But any other changes? I mean, the charge one was the big one.
Yeah, what do you think of are you taking the extra armor for the 3-up saves or
You know what? I haven't tried that. Really? Y'all know Aiden. Painter Aiden, the Aiden. He made his dwarf Rekka crew. And so he was always taking that armor because it was narrative.
That's awesome.
He hasn't. I don't know if he played it since they got that change, but before he was like, it just wasn't worth it. I haven't tried the 3-up saves, but you know what? 4s have been kind, especially with the reroll.
Yeah, get that. What is it? Tough gets reroll if you're on engage. You might try out if you play him next. You might try out that armor. I took him to a tournament up in one of Brandon Bean's tournaments, and the armor was really nice. Like, you know, 3-up saves. Made him feel a lot tougher, and I felt like most of the time I was having people just kind of run at me anyways, and I didn't worry about that extra inch. So you might give it a try. So
yeah, I'm gonna try it out. I mean, I said I was gonna put this team down because my big thing is hobby, right? So I mean, I got a trophy off of them. Like it's time to try something else. I mean, I got Raptors on my desk right now. Speaking of Rekkas being harsh, one of my worst. Well, my worst game at PSO, I played a guy named Ryle from Eastern Washington. And we were doing the mirror match. And we were on Tomb World. And at the end of turn one, he ended on the teleporter pad. And I just happened to have three dudes within 3 inches of each other. and on the other side of that, not thinking about it. And he won initiative. And that game did not go well. I wish I had my score in front of me. I think he scored like 20-4 or something like that.
Those games are rough, you know. Yeah. Like sometimes it's like that though.
That was the end of day one. So I had driven out in the morning. That was probably the most tired I was, and I was just like, "All right, well, screw this game."
Well, I actually have the scores. It was 16-4. So
16-4. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So,
a little closer
than that. Not as bad as, you know, like it could have been. Yeah. I've definitely had worse games.
Tyler, you'll remember Ryle. He's the, I played him at Tacoma last year.
Okay.
Right before I played you.
If you remember. Okay. Yeah. I remember him. Yeah. Interesting guy. So,
yeah. So
I ended up going out to dinner with him afterwards.
Yeah. So that was nice. He did not want. He did not want to go out to dinner with me afterwards.
That was an interesting interaction. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just say that. So, any other, like, besides Eaton apparently a big rocket mess from that game. Got any other big plays?
Yeah, you know, I returned the favor the next day into a Far Stalker player who did pretty much the same thing. End of turn one with the guy in the middle of three other crew, and that was a little rough.
Yeah,
I felt bad. I was like, damn, I was a little mad at Ryle the night before, and now I'm like doing the same thing, living in my hypocrisy. But I mean, that's the record game, right?
Yeah, sometimes.
You know,
you gotta carefully measure that stuff.
Yeah. And I'll forget again, and it'll happen again.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Fuck those bomb squigs and fuck that, you know. Like every time, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You shoot them and they survive, and like then they just blow up on you, and then they survive. You know,
surviving their own blast is amazing,
dude. Like fuck those little fucks.
Tyler's got PTSD from when he played at Tacoma Open, and he had your chain cannon or whatever, or heavy bolter standing on a building, and took three rounds of shooting into a squig, and the squig still lived.
Yeah, two rounds.
Neo the squig.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like fucking dodge all the bullets. Like fuck that squig. You know, that's what always happens against orcs. Like fucking have a grot commando fucking kill my fucking leader, my champion.
Oh, you did have that, didn't you?
Yeah. Fucking first LVO. Like just fucked up shit happens every time I play orcs. It's, you know, it's a. Yeah, it's orky. You know, I got to give it to him. But, like, I don't hate him for it. I should be playing orcs is what I realize every time. But I'm not. You know, I'm resisting the urge. So,
as somebody who works in education, when are you going to learn?
Never. Yeah. Never. Come on. You guys should know me well enough. I know. I don't learn.
No, you just keep beating your head against it. So,
yeah, eventually it kind of works. We have a convention, you know.
There you go. Well, yeah. No, and Matt, you said you're into it for the hobby, the painting piece.
Yeah, I enjoy playing the game and I love meeting people. But I don't want to say I'm competitive, but I'm a little more competitive when it comes to hobby.
Yeah, and you won. So you won Best Painted at Palm Springs Open with your Rekka crew. We'll get some pictures up on the video here. I'm taking a look at your board right now on your Instagram, and like. It looks amazing. Like, talk to us a little bit about kind of the board, maybe what went into it, kind of what you're like. I don't know how you view yourself as a painter. Are you you seem to love the hobby piece?
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of fly by the seat of my pants. I just kind of go. I'm not good at recipes, which I do want to learn because it'll help with my time. I mean, it took me forever to paint that team. They weren't even finished at that first LVO. They were like. The boss was finished and then everyone else is kind of like half done. But yeah, I just kind of like try things there and just mess around until it gets done. Blue is my favorite color. So, you know, kind of went
decimals. See that on your orcs there. Yeah.
I found out how to paint checkers. So everything gets checkers now. everything gets checkers. As far as the board goes, you know, I wanted to have like a blown out wall situation. And I just was struggling to find like to create that wall and make it look good and not cartoony. So I ended up just doing like the strewn. If you look at the board, it's like all the white like bricks and stuff in the middle, just kind of like they came through there, without the wall itself. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get I'll get some pictures from you. We'll get it up on there, and also your Instagram. Looks like you got Matt paints small things.
Yeah,
we'll put a link in the show description, and also Samoan_Matt. So, but we'll make sure people have a place to find you so they can see the pictures as well too. So, you got any techniques that you like? Do you like to do? Do you airbrush? Are you basic? Do you like oils? Tyler loves oils.
Yeah, everyone knows that.
Todd has been wanting me to get on oils. I haven't tried oils yet. Yeah. But I do airbrush just to get base colors down. I'm not good at details yet. So all those orcs started with a Zenithal and then like a couple colors. Mm-hmm. But I end up covering all of it anyways.
Yeah.
There's one model in there, the Rocket Boy, the regular Rocket Boy, that I ended up painting way later. And I had a Plague Marine team that was driving me crazy. I ended up taking them to a tournament and I hated them. I was like, I felt like so off with the painting. So that one, I sat there and I took a fine tip brush and all the work is line work. It's all like single lines, which I don't know if I have a good picture of that on my Instagram, but I'll put one up. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like a reset. It was after the last All Valley team tournament. And I've been feeling good about painting ever since then, actually. As far as my style goes, I like grimdark, but maybe not too grimdark. Like, I still like looking at details and seeing good colors. Maybe I shouldn't have been drinking this beer.
maybe you need another beer is what it is.
Yeah.
Got to double back into it.
Yeah.
Connor knows.
Yeah, definitely.
But not real bright highlights, which I think I need to work on. They need, my models look good up close. I don't know if they look great at tabletop, which at Palm Springs I was worried about. I thought they were all going to look at your models up close like... after day one, leave them out here and we'll take a look at them. They were looking at them while you were playing.
Yeah.
So these guys are going around looking at them from a distance. And like, I'm sitting here rolling dice and I'm like, oh shit, like, we gotta look close, dog. You know what I mean? Like, you can't see the checkers from back there, man. Get in there. Look at the skin. So I was very surprised when I won that best painted, to be honest.
So they didn't do like a showcase or anything? Like,
they did do a showcase. But I wasn't even sure I was gonna make it.
Yeah.
I was really worried because my stuff does look pretty dark from a distance.
Yeah.
Contrast on miniature painting is so hard though. Like, you have to dial it up, especially like when you're trying to judge from the tabletop, you know, you have to dial it up to like the extreme, like,
and for real. That's my problem. Cause I'm always painting like right here with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like right in my face. And then like, oh man, this looks amazing. The transitions are beautiful. And then I put it down and I'm like, that looks like all green skin. Like, you know, is that... There's not too much of a difference.
I always fear like mine is the opposite. Like mine like get like a really good like tone and I'm like, oh, these look great from like a little bit of ways. But you get up close and you're like, oh, he just like didn't paint half this model. You know, he just, this is, oh, he's using a lot of tricks on this, you know, which I am, like, you know, I know my tools and like the look I'm going for, but like, that's always how I feel like when I paint my models. It's like, oh, look at it from this far away rather than this far away.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like you said, it's the opposite for me. I'm always like right here with it. I think it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. I love painting skin. So my mm-hmm. skin looks amazing. It looks great. And then when I put it down, I'm like, that looks very similar. I'm like, oh shit.
It's mostly,
I think it's something to be said for that though. Cause I think that, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm in Tyler's camp where I'll paint something and I'll have it like out in front of me and I'll take a look at it and be like, oh, this looks good. And then I'll take a picture of it to show it to like Connor or somebody else. I'm like, oh God, it looks like
fucking like pictures.
Like balls when it just like zoom in with this iPhone camera's too good.
Dude, fucking pictures make it the worst. Like, God, nothing makes me want to like smash a model more than taking a photo of it. Like, oh, cool. I hate this model now. I have it. I can't paint at all. My hand, I have Parkinson's, you know, like, it's rough at moments.
It's the opposite for me. I hate the phone because I can't take a good picture of it. So I'm like, I just want to toss my phone across the room. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you guys have Zach take all your photos? Like,
every time.
Absolutely. Every time I take a photo of my stuff, I feel great about
it. It's like, though, dude, holy shit, I got golden demon level skill when Zach takes a photo of it.
he was at All Valley Team Tournament, the last one.
Yeah.
And I didn't have my Wreck-It Crew with me. And I was like,
oh no.
And I forgot to bring them day two. But I did have a Gaskell. I got a big, the Gaskell model that I painted for 40K. Mm-hmm. And he took amazing photos of that. Nice. God bless
that
man.
For real. Absolutely. Zach is
huge champion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, making everyone's models look beautiful and like panorama too, you know?
Yeah.
So
he makes me want to play the sisters. I was listening to the last episode.
And
I really want to pick those sisters up.
Yeah. No, I think so. Are you getting the Shadowhunt box in? Comes out this weekend.
Man, I am not. I've spent way too much money on models over the last several years. I'm like, I missed this box. I missed the last box. Maybe the box before that as well. But I was picking up everything before that.
Yeah.
So I was like, let me just chill out. If I want to get a team, I won a free team from one of my local stores. So I picked up the Raveners recently. But I've kind of chilled out on buying. I've got too much.
You said the Raveners are on your painting desk next.
They are.
What do you got? How are you gonna paint them up?
You know what? I didn't know I was doing it at first. My brother put me up on game. They're kind of galaxy colors. Yellow skin, dark blue carapace.
What's going on? Yeah.
You want to jump out a window after you heard galaxy colors?
Yeah, I can't hear about the galaxy anymore. I'm getting out of here. No, it's fucking hot. I'm in Jenna's office and it's hot as shit.
Well, that's because you're in it, Chuck.
Thanks, buddy. So you're going, galaxy colors? So.
Yeah, it is kind of galaxy colors. That one was on a story recently on my my page, but I'll post a picture of it because it looks cool.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Are you just painting them up for the fun of it, or you want to play them?
I'm not sure. I want to play everything that I paint.
Yeah.
I'm not into painting like busts and stuff because I want to play with it. Like I want to be on the tabletop. So I probably will. I don't know how I feel about how deep are you thinking when you play as a Ravener?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, are they as Oonga Boonga as Wrecker Crew?
I mean, I think they're Raveners seem like a cagey team, especially, I mean, for big bugs with 21, 20 wounds, and they seem like they just kind of like hang out and just kind of jump up and stab you.
One of my buddies plays them. I might, get in his ear about it. He got fourth at Palm Springs actually with them.
Oh, nice.
So I'll see what he has to say about it. I'm not a real deep gamer. I like throwing things forward, so
amen.
Let's blow some things up.
Yeah, let's go, let's roll some dice, you know. Right. Let's get this melee combat going, see who wins. I want to fight my best melee guy against your best melee guy, and then I want to fight my second best melee guy against your second best melee guy, or your best one if he survived the first one, you know. Like, let's do it.
So what are you guys playing right now?
Yeah,
Tyler's just playing himself. He hasn't done anything
mostly.
Lately,
mostly, so. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm actually, Tristan's coming over this weekend, and we're gonna play some games. So, I have a play date set up to play some Kill Team again, so that I can officially not get my Kill Team podcast license revoked.
Yeah, you give Connor a lot of shit about playing and stuff, and now it's your turn, Tyler.
It's absolutely. I deserve it. I haven't played in 3 months, so it's been off season for me, post crit con and then holidays and then moving, and now I've almost got my garage set up. As you can see, I have a lot of space to work with in here, so I'm excited to start hobbying. So now putting out the work, so I'm gonna be grinding on that terrain again soon. So
yeah, I actually I kitbashed a full loyalist murder wing team. So I did doing Death Company Blood Angels. I've got so that's the team that I think I'm gonna run with. So I get a lot of grief from Tyler and Greg specifically about not kitbashing anything. And I paint basic box art shit all the time. I am the recipe guy. Like I just paint it like the box art and call it good. So
he keeps a recipe log too, like in a book.
I actually do. I honestly I have a recipe log in my notes. So
to be fair, I think that's a genius idea.
Yeah. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. So now I'm but I kitbash the whole team. It's not like crazy kitbashing. A lot of it's just like arm and head swaps and stuff, but I used probably 10 different kits or something, because I use the assault intercessors with jump pack. I use Sanguinary Guard. I use Dante. I use Lamartes. I used Old Death Company. I used a captain with jump pack too. I used another thing from a captain with jump pack. I used Blood Angels upgrade sprue. So fuck you. I can kit bash. So.
Yeah, we love it. I love
I'm
it.
Proud I'm proud of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an expensive ass team.
It's an expensive fucking team, so I have to play it. So
yeah,
sure. I got a game with them this last weekend actually against Vesper up here and into Star Striders, and it was pretty fun. So
Star Striders with the new rules.
Yeah, Star Striders with the new rules. Yeah, I won 19-5. And it was basically, I didn't even take the Melta. I just like jumped into Vesper's back lines. And Vesper nuked two of my dudes off the board, but like seven wound little Star Strider people with plus one or one damage on the charge. Like they, you know, Relic Lightning Claws or whatever, or like 4/6 or something. So like one shot or so. But that's what I'm doing. Murder Wing.
I know Connor's.
What's that?
Are those pictures up on your page?
I don't have pictures up yet. They're just prime black right now. So I think I'm going to maybe tomorrow or the night after I'm going to actually start working on the armor. So went and found a recipe online. So
you're doing Death Company, you said?
Doing Death Company. Yeah.
Okay. So, not Sanguinary Guard.
Not Sanguinary Guard because I got a lot of, I don't want gold. Painted a lot of gold. Plus I've got a good mix of guys, and I actually used a lot of the bits from the old Death Company. Like the I don't even know, 6th edition or something, the plastic kit, cuz I had a couple boxes
the
of
good those, one. So
I
had, did you end up keeping the guy with the big hands?
No, the big hands guy, Curse Claw?
I don't know. Like whatever guy you get. It was like Dante with like giant power claws. Like,
oh yeah, once you put shoulders on him, he looked fine. So
I don't know, those hands looked like
they're just mega. Lightning claws, dude.
They look so big. I don't something about them looked extra fine. Big, you know. I don't know, other than that I thought they looked awesome.
Around me, everything looks big, so that's what it is. You won't. No, actually I think the Lightning Claws were a weird thing, though, too, because the Lightning Claw scale is kind of funny. I use, like, Vanguard Vet Lightning Claws. So it's, like, Firstborn, but they do look a little big. But once you put the shoulder pads on, they're fine.
I think that maybe, like, the Vanguard Vet ones, like, because they were so close to the shoulder pads, like, there was no arm to them. They just, like, kind of, like, blended in. Whereas now there's arms on them, and they look, like, weirder than they did before. You know? Not that they look necessarily bad. I just think that they're, like, weird hands in general.
Yeah. No, I think they turned out fine. So Lightning Claws are one of my least favorite parts of them. Just loyalist Lightning Claws just look kind of funny. So and they're also the old kit. So Connor, what about you?
I think you're gonna mention it, but yeah, I've been working on like a stupid amount of Star Striders right now because I have this thing of if a team is declassified, apparently they seem really appetizing to me. but I've been having a great time kit bashing up. I've been forcing Chuck and Nick to look at them and then write a little lore blurb. But I've always thought they were a cool team. Cody always played them and sold me on them. But then they got some crazy good looking buffs, and I was like, I can kit bash up a team quick enough. And that's what I've been working on.
So if they do have a Tacoma open, what are you going to take?
I don't know. Maybe my Nemesis Claw. Maybe my Raptors, because I've got, you know, Raptors ready for him. But we'll see.
Yeah, you were all excited about Murder Wing, and now you're just like shiny new thing Star Striders.
Yeah. It's because everyone's going to be playing Murder Wing. And also, as I was like, if I do want to lock in, the more I played, the more I realized, like, I cannot play an elite team. It's just not in me. I'm not good at not charging the nearest target. And I lose too many Marines by the end of turn two, and that's not good if you want to win the game.
You see, like, you just got to play, like, a counter-Marine team. Like, counter-meta team.
Yeah.
Just, like, commit fully to the anti-meta.
Yeah, just be like, yeah, I got to figure out what's good anti-meta, and then I'll lock in with that team or something. Yeah.
I mean, isn't Rekka's the anti-meta team right now?
Maybe. I've got an idea for a Rekka kit bash if they ever drop those models in plastic. The tech priests they showed off for Heresy, the like giant three-man group that look incredible. They previewed like 3 months ago and they still haven't released them. And I'm like, GW, please, because I think they would make for great Rekkas. But But otherwise, yeah, I don't know at the exact moment beyond that. Star Striders are fun, though, and I'm excited to continue to kit bash them. I had like three more ideas. And then I'm annoyed because I spent so much time making this medic, and I was like, he looks all right, but I could have done better with him. And then I found out there was almost the exact idea what I had in my head had just got dropped in Necromunda. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to go buy that Necromunda box just to pick up that single guy.
Yeah, I'm kit bashing a little bit. Connor's is all Connor's been doing is kit bashing.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about when I made that Nemesis Claw team, like, showed me this shit is way easier than I expected. And it just showed me not to be afraid of cutting torsos into, like, to get a single left piece of a chest plate. Do it. You know, like,
yeah. Just,
I literally have now three drawers on my little, like, sword of just, like, here's, like, mostly whole pieces. Here's arms that have been split in half. Like, the other day, I was cutting. Where is he? I don't know where he is. But I took like a shotgun from the breachers, then took one of the Krieg horse's arms, cut that in half, glued that onto another Krieg horse rider arm, then shaved off like the inside part of his arm so he could hold the shotgun underneath. It's like, it looks awesome, and I'm so having so much fun with it. It's a great time.
Just wait till he learns how to like sculpt.
Yeah, that's literally the next goal. Is like, I'm gonna have to take a sculpting class for something.
That's my hobby thing I want to do this year is learn how to sculpt stuff like green stuff or Tamiya putty. That's where like my skill, you know, because like right now, like my kit bashes, I think look good, but like they're held back by like me being a chop artist. I chop indiscriminately and I rely on pressure and plastic glue to, you know, like push them together. You push it together. You add enough bits to cover the holes and it looks okay. You know, but like I need to learn how to like sculpt and fill in the actual stuff, maybe connect some of my stuff properly. You know, like if you look at like one of my Goremongers, one of his legs, like my leader, his leg, his front leg is not connected at all to the rest of his body. Like, you know, he's pinned by like I had to like drill a hole because he like broke off and I could never get him like to line back up. So like he's just like pinned by like a toothpick. Sticking up like into like the middle of his torso, like not connected, you know. That's
Connor,
Sludgeworm or Philip on our Discord. Like, dude, that guy is such an inspiration because like he'll take 90 pieces to make one Marine and then green stuffs half the arms together. And I need to get at his level. I'm like, I need him to teach me because it's so
beans,
dude. Beans from beans, newest sculpt. Oh my god,
eat beans more on Instagram. Check
them
out.
E-beans.
You said bean.
I thought you were saying bean. I was like,
I'm like, I know Brandon did stuff, but like, is he a big green stuffer?
Yeah, no. And then Jeremy. Connor. Jeremy Spake.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Have you seen a feather?
Man himself.
Yeah, like, absolutely. You gotta get that. Dreamboat Jeremy. Like,
yeah. Problem is, if Jeremy like gave you a class, you'd just be staring longingly into his
absolutely.
Eye.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The bright side is then Jeremy would make me want to do Emperor's Children with like the most ridiculous like elf golden flowing hair off this Emperor's Children where it's like the hair is as long as the model because he's really good at sculpting those like Raven Guard emo haircuts. So now I need to do that with like Prince Charming level. Or
you've seen the feathers he's been sculpting?
Yeah, dude.
Is he on Instagram?
I think he's going to start one actually.
Yeah, he has a personal hobby one. Actually.
Tell him to do me a favor though. Don't post a picture of himself because I don't know what he looks like. And y'all been talking about
him. Oh, dude, Jeremy's a good looking dude.
Dude,
He looks like Fulgrim in my head, so
that basically like
Fulgrim pre snake mode. Yeah, Jeremy's not too far off.
Pre shit paintings.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Pre shit painting. Yeah,
you know, I think if like Fulgrim had
maybe
like,
mid shit painting, I don't know. Like you know,
yeah, you know, he's got that like edge to him. You know, like he's not completely clean cut. You know, so and we mean that in the most loving kind of way. Yeah. You know, you chop Fulgrim's hair nice and short into like a. High and tight, you know?
Yeah. Jeremy does also collect knives. Hopefully he doesn't find like a demon knife sword and then we'll be all right. Otherwise, then
we're all fucked.
Yeah, then we're all screwed.
Hey, it's time for the Vox Cascadia Heresy. Let's do it. Yeah. Well, somebody's got to fix his government, right? I mean,
Oh, man.
Yeah, Matt, cool. You do much kit bashing or you
still? I do. I actually got one on my desk. I completely forgot about it. It's a Rekka crew team. It's AOS Works, that same, what are they, Iron Jaws that everyone was making kit bashes for. But my brother wanted, he plays World Eaters, So he wanted like Korn Wrecker Crew. So I'm doing Tuska Demon Killer.
Okay. Hell yeah.
So that's like a orc slash Korn Kit Bash. The models are cool as shit, but they're awful for gaming. Because I got like a I got a rocket boy holding a rocket up in the air like this. Yeah, like as soon as I shoot, I can't hide him anywhere. he's taller than the prime, probably the Tyranid prime.
Oh shit.
I don't know if I got a picture of those either. I want to paint them. I'm kind of scared to paint them. Because I this is such a cool kit bash and I like don't know where to start, but I just need to put some paint on them and get started.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's with my back to my murder wing a little bit. I'm a little scared about it because since they are the like sanguinary guard and the jump pack marines, they all got like little fins hanging off them. And so I feel like, and I was trying to play them the other day, I feel like there's no way I'm going to be able to turn these guys and not like get shot. And so, but they're it's cool. It's
price you pay for dynamic models, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That or hopefully your opponent's like, cool, is like, dude, I respect the drip you put into it. So I'm not going to say I can shoot you because I see a third inch of a fin on your model. Therefore,
shout that's out
a
valid, that gamer.
Yeah. Don't be that guy. It's like, no, man, that model looks cool. I'm not going to dock your points on that.
Dude, that's my hand of the Archon, although Chuck would shoot them no matter what.
Well, that's just a given.
Yeah. I hate the fucking elves.
Well, all elves deserve to get shot, so.
There you go. Yeah. Right there.
Wow. Connor, I thought we were the woke podcast, you guys. Like,
yeah. Jeez. I mean, it's fantasy fascism. It's not okay. Real. It's not like
None of us here are like Black Templar fans or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know.
In that type of way, Chuck, you know, where it's like.
Oh, not that kind of.
Yeah, where you have like the Black Templar that's just like Purge the Heretics, like phone case. It's like, hey, man, that might give.
Oh, man, I saw that. I saw that.
All the comments were like, looks cool. You're gonna get a lot of questions. Like they'll understand. It's like I don't think they will, man.
I don't think they're gonna understand. The general public does not know what Warhammer is
great and it's growing, but it's not like that level, like Star Wars, where you can see the Empire symbol type of thing. But
like, I still like, you know, I see people with like, you know, support the troops, and it's like fucking like the fucking stormtroopers on the back of their cars, and I'm I don't know, man. Did you
watch the movies?
You're the literal enemy, I think. You know, like I don't want to. Yeah, like I don't want to get to that point, but like, are you literally a bad guy? You know, like.
Emperor Palpatine did nothing wrong, folks. He just wanted to build a great space wall and keep out. Whatever the stupid name of the aliens were in the extended universe, that Yuvan Val? Chuck, did you read those books?
Yuvan, what?
I don't read.
Yuvan Zhang.
Zhang, like. Yeah. The very vaguely, definitely not coded poorly after 9/11 alien species that had a holy war against the Republic of Mankind. It's like, what do you mean by this, guys? Those books did not age well.
No. You know, I've never thought of it in that context.
It was funny because there was a YouTube video that came up like a while back. I saw that was like revisiting the extended universe. And it's like, it was pretty cool. And then 9/11 happened and they really started to lean into the religious war aspects in these books. And that's kind of put a bad taste in the second half of these novels now, because the first part starts out fun. It's Star Wars. There's all this cool stuff happening. And then we get real dark and too real with it real quick.
Oh, man, it's almost like science fiction is a commentary on the world.
On the world system, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it always has been, almost. And Frankenstein, that definitely had nothing to do with the current state of humanity, you know? So.
Yeah, but it was made crazy. I don't know enough. I just know the author of Frankenstein was apparently like a crazy goth freak, but like in a cool way. Like she apparently like got laid on her mom's grave or something. I'm like, what? That's amazing and so weird. Way to go, lady.
Wonder if her mom had a warm bed, too.
I'm going to beat you to death, Chuck. I'm going to beat you to death with hammers.
It's been like 30 episodes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's still being.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what the people of Philadelphia did to that poor hitchhiking robot.
Yeah. Shout out Philly. So. But, well, Matt, thanks for joining us, buddy. Yeah, it was nice to hear about your journey, learn a little bit more about you. And, we were talking about the show. I don't know if you want to talk about what's going on kind of in your world down there. I see you're repping some,
rocking a union shirt.
Yeah.
I work for Los Angeles Unified School District. I am a special ed assistant. And if you follow me on my main account, you'll see most mornings I'm saying good morning, how you doing, and talking about the fact that we're probably going to go on strike. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, not to get too political, but there's like $5 billion in reserves at LAUSD, and they don't want to pay us. So they need to cough up us and they the run. Teachers, maybe the administrators as well. So, you know, how are you going to run a school without teachers, administrators, assistants, bus drivers?
The AI will do it, man. That's the future. Yeah. Look at what is
that might be the future they want. Actually. Yeah,
that way the kids can't talk back. They don't want to know how to fucking speak.
But it's happening across California. I mean, I don't know about how it is in Oregon and Washington. But right now, a lot of teachers are close to going on strike. Oh. I mean, I don't know if you heard, but they don't pay us enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
yeah,
well, absolutely. I mean, I've seen it was a meme online, but I saw that it was like, you know, somebody got a teaching degree and went back to the tendon bar because they were making more money because, mm-hmm. you know, rather than paying teachers, we gotta, you know, we spend our money elsewhere. But then they get pissed that kids aren't making the grades.
And, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, so many young teachers are leaving the profession, which is a shame. I've been working in a school for I've been working 13 years.
Nice.
And yeah, I've seen so many teachers come and go because they don't get paid enough and they don't get supported. So,
I mean, I can't imagine like one not getting paid enough to like literally educate our youth and our future, but then two to like to have to put up with kids these days. Yeah. I feel like it's a lot more challenging than like when I was a kid or even when Connor was a kid 4 years ago.
Yeah,
like it's got it's a lot to deal
with me, and I'm like well adjusted for the most part.
No, but I mean, pretty like, close to my students. But,
yeah, not that far off, unfortunately. As much as I like to pretend, sometimes it's not as much.
No, yeah, man, it's rough. It's rough. You know, there's not, you know, obviously not every kid, but there's not a whole lot of accountability at home. And you know, we are being taught to teach, not to, I don't want to say, like. Correct or work on behaviors. We're there to work on behaviors, especially in special ed. But yeah, man, if there's no accountability at home, there's not going to be any in school. And mm-hmm. you can't expect us to raise your kids as well as teach them.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
It's got to be tough. Have you seen, so let's go a little deeper in this. Have you seen, like, you've been doing this for 13 years now, you said, have you seen, as far as like, as technology's gotten, like, kids get phones, they get tablets, you got the tablet generation now. Have you seen like a change in kids?
Definitely. I don't know if I want to blame the screens, right? Because the kids that were there when I'm at high school, right? So the kids were there when I first started. I think they grew up with screens. You know, if you were born in like 99 or 98 or whatever, you grew up with a screen in front of you. Maybe the tablet generation is a little different. But it's hard to keep their attention. And I don't want to sit here and rag on kids because, you know, there's great kids. They're not all bad. But yeah, hard to keep their attention. There's not a whole lot of respect for adults. I mean, I remember when I was younger, I mean, my mom was a teacher, so, you know, I had to respect teachers.
Yeah. But, otherwise it comes back to her and then you're double screwed.
Yeah. But yeah, there's like no respect for adults. Like their parents can't tell them anything. So how would I be able to? Yeah.
Do you think that the proliferation and the availability of information on the internet, especially to people who can't necessarily discern good information from bad information, changes the interaction that they have in the education system here? Like,
for sure. For sure. I mean, there's so many more voices of authority. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not just your teacher and your parents anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, so-and-so online, whatever, you know, douchebag streamer says, this is what's going on.
Hey, wait a minute. We're douchebag streamers.
We're not streamers yet, Chuck. Not streamers. Yet. Yeah,
come on. We're right. We're just podcasters. Yeah. We have
douchebag podcasters.
Exactly.
I'm come on. For Aiden Ross's Artist Kill Team podcast.
Yeah, we don't yet have a sponsorship by, like, gambling sites telling, you know, go bet everything on, dude. That's the crazy
gambling sites is crazy.
Yeah, have you seen those Kalshi or Cashy or whatever where it's just gamble on everything? It's like bet on what the weather's gonna be tomorrow. I'm like, how is this like not outright banned in everything?
It's because
speaking of that, I'd like to talk about our sponsor today, Bet365. right now, if you put $5 down on whether or not Connor is going to hit me with a hammer for making mom jokes, you can get $200 in extra bets. So.
That's we should get some crypto bros to make a kill team betting app. There we go.
Did you guys see that it's Epstein all the way down?
Like, yeah,
Epstein created Bitcoin. He's the reason we have microtransactions in all video games. He started the far right political movement online through a poll and Reddit. Like, it's all Epstein, man. It's all Epstein. Everything's Epstein.
All the NFTs.
Yeah, exactly. He's still alive in Israel. That's what they're saying. Like, you know, like it's all. Anyways. Thanks for listening to the Boxcast Skating Podcast or watching us on YouTube. You can check
just add ourselves to another list.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not that list. It's not that list.
Not that list. We're not on that list. We're not in those files, but we're definitely on a watch list, at least me. You can check me out. Join my watch list at Lowbrow Minis. You can check out Chuck at Painting Cave Minis, Connor at Spanaway. And then we also have Matt Paints Small Things. Right down there on Instagram. You can also get us at Vox Cascadia Podcast on Patreon.
There we go.
Yeah,
he was so Patreon. Close. He was so close.
Patreon.com/VoxCascadiaPodcast.
Yeah, so basically. Same thing. And then YouTube, Vox Cascadia, and also Instagram, too. We love you.
Hold on. Matt, anything you want to plug?
Buddy? Anything you want to
plug. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Oh,
and actually, good luck with the strike, but
absolutely.
Anything you want to plug?
I mean, you know, go check out the Instagram. Come follow your boy. Mm-hmm. Follow me on both. Follow me on Simone Matt as well. You can hear about my strike stories, or hopefully we don't go on strike. That would be the best. Yeah. Hopefully they pay us.
Yeah. If you guys do go on strike, send us a link to where we can donate to help you guys. So maybe people can pitch some funds. So
yeah, patreon.com/VoxCascadiaPodcast with the link.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And if you're in the Southern California area and you play Kill Team, I mean, come out to a tournament. We're not scary. Shout out Dakota and the Squad Games, Giacomo. Shout out Alex Popov, of course. I think they're currently playing a game they're streaming a game. But yeah, I mean they're the reason I'm here now. You know what I mean? I was just planning on taking this game home and playing with my brother and my friend and not being part of the competitive scene. I heard the worst things about tournaments. This is amazing. I'm sitting here talking to you gentlemen.
Absolutely. Like tournaments for Warhammer and especially Kill Team are something special. If you're listening to this podcast and you haven't played in a tournament, if you haven't made the chance to travel out to a tournament, do it. It's really good for your mental health. It's good for your emotional health. It's good for your social health. And it's good for the economy, which I don't know if you should really be supporting the economy right now, but like, you know, that's
support your local game stores.
Yeah, support your local game stores and support your local conventions, because we do have CritCon, which Chuck is wearing.
I was about to say, yeah, where's the best Kill Team tournament to play in October in the Portland area?
I have not said. I am so mad that I have not made it
out
yet.
Bro,
you got to come up, dude.
We would love to see you. We got some people coming up from California for it. It's some vendors I've been talking to. So I think. You know, I can't announce them yet because, like, we're not
in and out burger.
Yeah, we have some really cool people in the wargaming scene. If you follow like the indie wargaming scene online, some like really cool people I think that are coming up. So I'll tease that right now.
Ooh. Real quick, I'm gonna do another shout out. Speaking of indie, Lord of Skulls.
Oh yeah,
that's my boy,
dude.
Yeah. Lord of Skulls.
I mean, he's
killing the game right now.
Dude, he the fucking some of the coolest vision for wargaming out there right now, as far as you know.
And you can pick up his stuff at LA War Games, which is in Little Tokyo, downtown LA.
And you're probably gonna be
about amazing store.
Pick his stuff up at CritCon.
I didn't mean to burn it for you like that.
No, it's okay. It's a good lead in. So so I'm talking to him. He's pretty down.
Cool dude. Is Lord of Skulls his Instagram?
Lord of Skulls, absolutely.
Okay,
if you're not following, like his stuff is like.
I just googled it and I keep getting the 40k. You know, I'm like probably not the guy we're talking about, but maybe. Yeah.
And then we're also talking Slow Death Games, Chris. Which, if you don't know Chris from Slow Death Games, he's the coolest guy in the hobby. He will never agree to that. he will vehemently deny it. But like, man, that guy is so fucking cool. He's like, I have said, like, you want to know someone I have a crush on in the hobby? It's Slow Death Games. So, coolest guy. And I hope to have him up. He's down in the California area. So, we're hoping CritCon's going to be extra, extra special this year, with some special guests and all of our classic tournaments and painting and vendors and classes and, you know, an expanded lineup. Hopefully we can do it more and better and, give you guys more value. So it's going to be exciting. October 23rd through 25th this year. So yeah, you know, my brain's not totally fried from this move. I can still remember something.
It's good because we got to start working on shit.
Yeah, fucking for real. Oh man, it's coming up. I'm going to blink and it's going to be April. So anyways, we love you. Good night.